Caller 10 at 800-636-1067. Congratulations, you are a winner. You're going to win two tickets to the Freedom 250 Grand Prix. IndyCar zooms into history with the first ever race around the National Mall this weekend, August 22nd and 23rd. Get race ready with all the information you need to know at freedom250gp.com. It is time for our Beltway Blitz. We will cover the NFL, the Commanders, but we got to start on the hardwood. And with the Wiz after a trade yesterday, Greg Finberg, Bullets Forever, to get us started. Greg, tell us about the deal to bring in a new point guard, too.
Yeah, so pretty surprising move, to say the least, but the Wizards decided that they wanted to get in on this five-team trade centered around a Peyton Watson sign-in trade. To the Cavs, they needed another guard after trading Jaden Hardy and D'Angelo Russell in deals that netted them a forward and Chris Middleton, a center and DeAndre Ayton. Behind Trae Young, Trey Johnson, and Bob Carrington needed another guard and decided to send out Cam Whitmore, who was buried in the depth chart as one of those wings, probably the last of the wings to get minutes this season, probably wasn't going to play much this season, and said we would like to move him so we can get Trey Mann, who's a combo guard, can play point guard, I think probably better suited as a off-ball guard, but definitely another scoring option, gives them some depth there. They also picked up a second-round pick in 2027 via the Clippers. There's a lot of contingencies on that, so can't really tell for sure which team is sending them that pick, but they pick up another second-round pick in 2027, which makes 3 seconds for them now next season, and some cash as well. Ended up also giving out Julian Reese to the Nuggets to make the trade work, but again, they had too many wings, so Whitmore wasn't going to play. They didn't have enough guards. They needed depth there, and they were able to pick up a second-round pick in the process. So not going to move the needle maybe too much in terms of their competitive window, but definitely a trade that you can understand when it comes to the construction of this roster.
Greg, Wizards fans maybe just kind of catching up here. Sports fans in general might be. What happened with Russell Westbrook, flirtation, now retirement, and then they kind of pivoted, it seems, to go find some guard depth?
It seems, again, like you mentioned, that they had been in on trying to find a move to bring in another guard. They certainly need a true point guard to back up Trae Young. And the report from ESPN was that the Wizards offered Russell Westbrook a 2-year deal. They also had an offer from the Sacramento Kings, and he decided to retire. The reporting was that, although the Wizards offered him multiple years on the deal, that he didn't necessarily like the role that they were offering him, which it's fair. You know, they have Trae Young, who's going to be their starting point guard. They have Bob Carrington. They have Trey Johnson and Will Riley as other guys that are capable of playing guard. They also have guys like Keyshawn George that can play on ball. So I'm sure the role that they were offering Russell Westbrook wasn't a certified 9-10-man rotation role. It was kind of a backup guard role, and let's see if we need you, you know, if you can step up and obviously fill that void. And it seems like Russ decided that retirement was the better route for him, and he had a great career, including one stop in D.C. where he averaged a triple-double, but it seems like the role probably just wasn't the best fit for him at the time in his career.
Greg, I really wanted to see Will Riley get a chance as a backup point guard, and there's obviously going to be less opportunity in minutes for that. Do they seem like they're not interested in that? Even John Wall, I've heard, come out and talk about that, and it's something I've always kind of thought could work.
I mean, in summer league, he started at point guard for them. The games that he played in summer league, he played decently well at point guard. And towards the end of last season, despite the Wizards going 1-27 over the final 28 games, he had a lot of minutes at point guard. So I think they understand that he's capable and they aren't afraid to play him there. But he definitely has a ways to go in terms of his processing and his decision making, in terms of running an offense. Obviously, Trae Young will get the keys with a starting unit. You have Will Riley, who's a potential option, Keyshawn George, who can play off on-ball minutes when Trae Young's not on the floor. You certainly have Bob Carrington, who has a decent bit of experience playing point guard. You now enter in Trey Mann, who has a couple of years of experience playing both point guard and shooting guard. So I think Riley's definitely capable. I think the Wizards aren't afraid to play him there, and I guess we'll see when training camp rolls around if that's going to be Carrington's position, if it's going to be Will Riley at the backup point guard spot, or if they'll look to give Trey Mann some run at some point.
Greg, what's a success for Anthony Davis, Rich Paul, the Wizards this year? Like, what's everyone's ideal vision, and do those line up?
I think you got a lot of information from August 6th, which was the first day that Anthony Davis could sign that 4-year, $275 million max contract extension. You had a report from ESPN that said it was a mutual decision. That's Shams coming out and saying that not only do the Wizards not want at the moment to give Anthony Davis a deal when he has only played 71 games over the last two seasons, they want to see him be healthy. They want to see how he pairs up with Sarr, but also that Anthony Davis wants to see if the Wizards can be competitive. I have a little bit of an issue believing that, just because I think if the Wizards presented Davis with $275 million right now, I think he'd sign it. I think it's more so the Wizards just aren't in the business of extending him when he isn't available as much, and they just want more information as to whether he will work with this team and whether or not he can stay healthy. So I think from the Wizards' perspective, they like where they're at, and they'll give him an extension possibly if he fits, or if he's healthy and if he fits with this team. And for Davis, I think, you know, it's a good situation for him to be in. He'll play good, meaningful minutes on a solid team. But I think he obviously is eyeing that extension. And if he plays well enough, I think he should get something probably in that realm.
Greg, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. Always outstanding talking about the Wiz. Let's talk football. Mike Jones of The Athletic covers the National Football League. Mike, I'm wondering, I don't know how much you would even call these competitions, but do we know yet who's starting for the Cleveland Browns, Watson versus Shedeur Sanders, or the Falcons, Tua versus Penix? I guess Penix isn't even healthy enough right now to push Tua, is he?
Yeah, these are like two of the worst quarterback competitions in the history of the NFL, I feel like. Because in Cleveland, it sounds and feels like they want Deshaun Watson to win that job, the way that Todd Monken talks. But then he just, by all accounts, like, is throwing a lot of interceptions, and in practices, he's not great. But then you have Shedeur, who, you know, isn't great either. And, you know, I think that it's going to wind up being Deshaun. I think they're like, okay, we're going to give him one more crack. I think Monken trusts a veteran guy a little bit more, and they want to see if, okay, if he can, you know, just take care of things and manage and put them in positions. But it's not great, and it's not going to be for the full season. Eventually, at some point, Shedeur is going to wind up taking over. And down in Atlanta, I mean, if Penix was healthy, from everything I've heard and from what we've seen, I think it would be him, because Tua just looks so bad. But they kind of almost have no choice but to roll with Tua right now, because they haven't had a full healthy Penix.
So I've been here, obviously we're here in D.C., Mike, and I've been bitching and moaning that it feels like training camp in general has just been on the softer side. That's what Dan Quinn's MO has been for a couple of years, and they've gotten off to kind of rotten starts because of it. But I know that's the trend line around the league, but my point is all those teams weren't disasters last year, and I would try to do things differently. But I still read every day about a new semi-catastrophic injury for each team. So kind of where are we at big picture with your study of the league in terms of training camp, difficulty, preseason activity, and yet guys are still kind of getting hurt? It reminds me of pitching debates, right, where guys pitch less but still get hurt at the same rate. Just kind of give me your thoughts there.
Yeah, I mean, it's the human body, and I think you can try different approaches, but some, you know, it's just going to happen. Injuries are part of the game. There's no way to fully prevent them. You can try to scale back. You can try to up this or that. You know, they try to tone down some of the physicality, try to listen to the bodies, and they have all the metrics and everything, but guys are just going to get hurt. And, you know, you can try to hold people out of the preseason and go with, or, you know, the team, you know, joint team practices, and hope that that simulation gives you the competition that you need to be able to evaluate. But there's nothing that's going to be perfect. And, you know, it's kind of, I don't know, I'm getting tired of it. It's football. The whining about, you know, and guys not, you know, playing in the preseason. You got to play. You got to get ready. You know, and you're going to get hurt whether you play or whether you don't play. Somebody's going to get hurt, whether it's in practice, whether it's in a game. You just got to roll with it.
Speaking of playing in the preseason, there are two games tonight, the Raiders and the Texans on ESPN at 8 o'clock, and then the 49ers and the Chargers, the late night game on NFL Network. Sounds like Fernando Mendoza for an entire first half for the Raiders, the number one pick, the Heisman Trophy winner. What are we hearing at a Raiders camp on how he's looked?
They like what they're seeing from him. Not handing him the job yet, but they are working on each week, each practice, throwing a little bit something else at him to try to see how he handles the pressure, how he handles and responds to certain situations. And Clint Kubiak is a pretty conservative guy when it comes to, you know, he doesn't gush But he has spoken positively about what he's seen from Mendoza. And I know their plan was, let's start Cousins and we'll roll with him for as long as we can until Mendoza's ready. But Mendoza's steadily getting some reps with the first team here and there throughout practices and trying to do everything he can to force his way into this job. It's going to be interesting to see how it happens for the rest of the preseason and the regular season. But the door is not shut on him starting.
How much better are the Giants going to be this year?
I don't know. I think that they're going to play hard. I think that John Harbaugh is going to get a lot out of them, but they're still young and they still have a really big question about quarterback. And so I don't know that they're going to win a whole lot more games. I think they will be able to put pressure on teams and make things interesting a little bit better than what they have been. But it's a process, and they have a lot of young guys who are trying to learn how to win in the NFL. But Harbaugh and them, I think he's good for that team. You just want to see the process of them improving as the season goes on.
You had a piece, The Athletic did, that you co-authored about Roger Goodell saying there's no doubt the NFL is going to eventually have teams outside of the United States. Do you buy that?
I mean, eventually, it could be like 50 years from now, but it's not going to be anytime soon. There's a whole lot that goes into that. They don't have a team that's got a stadium. You know, I mean, that's what it would take. And then the whole NFL Players Association and the owners, there's a lot of different areas that they would have to negotiate and hammer out before this would become a thing. So I asked around a lot, and a lot of people were just like, yeah, well, I mean, maybe one day, but nobody gets the sense that this is even 5-10 years from now. They were hoping when they started this international series up that within 15 years they'd be ready for this, and we still don't have a team that's full-time anywhere, so it's going to be a long time before, but they're going to keep on trying to grow the game. I just don't know yet if there's anywhere that can fully support a full-time team.
Mike, thank you as always, buddy. Talk soon.
All right, see you guys. Thanks.
You got it, man. Hit that local 53 sounder, please. Okay, Ethan Godot, Associated Press, joins us to talk about the local 53. Who's playing this weekend? Who's out?
Yeah, it seems like most of the starters are playing, but there's a laundry list, like you just mentioned, of guys who are out. Rashad White's out. Trey Amos is out. Nick Allegretti's out. Johnny Newton just had surgery today. He's out. Obviously, Tunsil's out. So that's just, what, seven guys I listed right now. Seems like pretty much all the other starters are going to play. DQ today was very non-committal about whether Jaden was going to play. I think that's the biggest question mark, but it seems like of the non-injured starters, pretty much all of them are going to go, besides maybe Jaden. We don't know, and I'm not sure we'll find out till a couple hours before kickoff.
Would you play Daniels in this game?
So at the beginning of the week, I was leaning towards yes. I feel like they should get him some live reps. I think obviously the joint practices are great, but there's nothing that can replace, you know, just like the real reps, real football. But seeing him take all of the first and second team reps this week in practice with Mariota not there leads me to believe he's not going to play. And with Allegretti out as well, I think they might have a little bit of PTSD from last year, the end of that Seattle game. There's no reason for him to be in there. He goes in there and gets hurt. I feel like they're playing it a little bit cautious with him, so I'd be surprised. Or I'm leaning towards he's not going to play. I don't think I'd be surprised, but I'm leaning towards he's not going to.
What's going on with the running backs? Rashad White got ice poured on him, so there's something there. McNichols is out for a little while. Did Bill tweak something today? Like, what gives here?
Yeah, Bill tweaked something today, but he didn't seem like it was serious. He said he wanted to play on Saturday, so I would say of the three, he is the one that I'm least concerned about. Rashad White was out there at practice today. He didn't really participate, but he was in uniform. They quickly debunked the ice bucket theory. I'm not sure what happened. Dan Quinn said it was the last play of the joint practice, so I'll take him for his word. But I think the conspiracy is pretty funny, though.
Yeah, the video is pretty clear that he, like, slips, and it's probably nothing, but that's certainly what a lot of people think happened behind the scenes. What do you make of the center position for them and whether or not it's an issue?
Oh, it's 100% an issue. I think it was an issue the second they decided to part ways with Biotic. I mean, I'm not here to say he was the perfect center, but he was pretty good at the position. Maybe he doesn't play the position the way they want to run it under the new offensive scheme, but he was definitely the best option they had by far. I think Nick Allegretti can be a solid center. I don't think he has like a Pro Bowl ceiling at the position, and he's practiced what, 1-2 times this entire training camp. Like, if Allegretti's healthy, I don't think Good Jones even makes the roster. So I think it's 100% an issue, and if Allegretti is not healthy for week one, for whatever that reason may be, I'm not sure the week one center is on the roster at this point, which to me is very concerning as you're installing a completely new offense that is under center with the quarterback.
Who's going to have a bigger role than people are anticipating maybe on defense?
I this might be a cop-out answer, but I think after last year, a lot of people were lower on Frankie Louvu. Just, he had that great year in 2024. Last year, maybe he was playing a little bit out of position, couldn't replicate that same success. This is the guy who I think is going to wear the green dot. He's been doing it in practice. I mean, all the guys have, but he seems like the guy who's actually going to do it on game day. And I think he's going to have a really good season. Him playing alongside Sonny and Leo Chanel should definitely help. So I'm really excited to watch him this year and see if he can return to that 2024 form, where I'm pretty sure he was second team all pro. Like, he was really good that year. So hopefully he can return to that form.
Thank you. Much appreciated as always, Ethan.
Yeah, good talking with you guys.
You as well. Speaking of talking to guys, I talked to Josh Connerly out at training camp today. You'll hear the interview that I did with the starting right tackle of the team. I want to talk about his camp because I think it's been up and down and the expectations going into the season for him. He's a guy that I'm still not completely sold on having a monster season, but he certainly got all the physical traits and tools that you're looking for as a former first-round pick. That's next on The Fan.